Alrighty, and as promised, we have Neil Schwarzberg, and in her report, Neil is going to take us to the world of turquoise and explain the different kinds made in jewelry and describe her shopping experiences in Albuquerque. How are you?
I'm fine and delighted to be here.
Thank you, Neil. It's nice to have you here. You know what we don't realize sometimes when we play in the bumper music that when you're on the line, that the bumper music is playing and you probably just get dead air. And you're wondering, what happened to those guys? I heard them a few minutes ago. Where'd they go?
Well, it did. You guys did disappear. And I thought, oh, my God, I've been disconnected. But then you came back, so I felt better.
Well, what happens is that when we play the bumper music, when we bumper it in, they can hear it on the air, but the person on the line can't hear it for some reason, which is kind of interesting because you can hear the rest of it while you're holding. But anyway, Neela, it's really wonderful to have you on the show today, and I think your topic of shopping, of course, I'm not a great shopper, but jewelry shopping is certainly interesting. It's going to be interesting to our audience, and especially with turquoise and the other things that you're going to take us on a little bit of a mental journey on this trip that you've done.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that you're not big on shopping because neither am I.
Oh, good to hear that. We should get together.
We'd save a fortune.
Yeah, there you go.
But that's one of the things that surprised me is when I hit Albuquerque, I whipped out that credit card, and I just hit every place I went, I bought jewelry. And it's so unlike me that that's part of the genesis of the article. And I have always wanted turquoise, and I've always wanted turquoise and silver and a Native American piece of jewelry, and it wasn't right somehow to buy it in New York.
Right, exactly. And it's a beautiful combination, those colors with the... I've had, over a period of time, a lot of silver and turquoise jewelry given to me because I lived in that area, not in Albuquerque per se, but...
the whole Southwest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful, so continue. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. So my first stop was Old Town in Albuquerque, and it's a beautiful place. It's, you know, got the town square and winding streets, and everywhere I looked, there were people selling turquoise jewelry. Blankets by the town square and little shops, and I soon became totally overwhelmed and knew that I knew nothing about turquoise. So I went off to the Turquoise Museum, and I recommend this place highly. It is probably the largest private collection of turquoise in the world, and it is the Lowry family collection. This is the current generation of the family of the Lowrys.
Right.
And it's in a strip shopping mall on the edge of Old Town, and it doesn't look like much. But when you walk in, you start to see this enormous amount of turquoise, little turquoise and big turquoise and blue turquoise and green turquoise and turquoise from all over the world. And the Lowrys, there's almost always a Lowry there. And when I was there, Joe Dan Lowry taught me about turquoise. He'd teach anybody who walked in about turquoise. I wasn't, you know, special. But... what determines the value of turquoise is the hardness, and for some people, the color.
No, that's interesting because, you know, I always thought with turquoise that, you know, how do you tell whether it's really turquoise or just plastic?
Ah, yes, that was the first thing he said to me is, what's the first question to ask about turquoise? So I came up with something, and he said, wrong. The question to ask is it natural?
Right.
Uh-huh.
That's the question. That's a regulated term, and people who sell you turquoise, if it isn't natural, they have to tell you that. Natural turquoise is harder, and it's got a nice color. That's the way it comes from the mine, and they just polish it up.
Right.
But a lot of turquoise is softer and very pale, and it doesn't work well. So they do what's called stabilizing it, which is basically to kind of do something with plastic. It's not that they inject plastic into it or anything, but they somehow use a plastic epoxy to stabilize it.
Yeah, and it gives it the gloss, I guess. Yeah.
And makes it harder.
Yeah, they put a film over it. It's very much like what they do with opals, with slivers of opal. They make what they call a triplet.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, if you buy a triplet, it's very cheap. If you buy a solid oval the same size, you're going to pay a lot of money for it.
Mm-hmm.
And to the untrained eye, just as with the turquoise, the untrained eye, it's very easy to get taken.
Yeah, you won't be able to tell the difference just looking at it.
Right.
But there's a kind of like a truth law. And they have to tell you if it's natural or stabilized. If you know to ask that question, they have to tell you the answer.
Right.
And if they don't, they can get fined, heavily fined. There's also a third type of turquoise that's still turquoise, but it's the lowest grade. It's actually the bits and pieces left over from polishing the turquoise that are ground up and reconstituted.
Uh-huh.
And the Lowry's point is buy what you love, but know what you're buying.
Right, well, that's a good point.
Yes.
And is it also by weight, I assume?
Well, the more plastic around it, the lighter it is. Natural turquoise is heavier, and it's harder.
Right. So it's more quality than weight and size, I imagine.
Well, yeah, the bigger the piece, the more expensive it will be.
Right.
And they also have a gift shop there. And he was initially reluctant to sell me earrings because he thought it would dilute the purpose. But I begged and pleaded, and he did ultimately.
he was a good salesman. No, I'm not going to sell you any earrings. No, I'm not going to. I really want those earrings. No, I'm not going to sell them. I really want them. All right, they're $3,000.
Oh, the other thing that I learned is that you can get a certificate of authenticity with your turquoise. And so my earrings came with this certificate. And it reads, this jewelry is authentic Indian handmade by Art Plantero, a Navajo artist, and it is set with natural turquoise from the Cripple Creek mine in Colorado.
That's a famous old mine, actually, Cripple Creek. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you also mentioned, aside from turquoise, that there are lots of other arts and crafts in that area.
Yes, indeed. I discovered at the Gathering of Nations, although it's available at other places, a beaded jewelry. And there's necklaces and earrings, and of course, I bought earrings. And they're just lovely. They're beaded in different colors, and they make a pattern. And you can buy them, as I said, I bought these in the Gathering of Nations, which is the largest Native American gathering powwow that takes place actually at the end of April in Albuquerque.
Right.
And that's a very good place to look for not only jewelry, but all kinds of handcrafts.
They do pottery and art and rugs and Hopi dolls and all sorts of things, don't they?
Yes, and there's actually a woman there named Ilona Stanley Clearsky. And she does something, it's not jewelry, but it's very cool. It's called birch bark biting. And she actually takes thin pieces of birch bark, folds it, and then bites a pattern into it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you open it up, there's this lovely, intricate pattern. It was originally used as a pattern for embroidery and decorating clothing.
I wonder how that is on your teeth over a period of time.
I don't think it's bad because the birch bark is really quite thin.
Right.
But
well, it's certainly interesting. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I think I'd want to use my pet dog or something.
Your pet dog bite in the right places.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, then you'd get a random pattern. You'd get something a little art nouveau, as it were.
Yeah, it's very unusual. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the designs of Lily Barrick.
Oh, her pieces are very not common. Well, let me put it this way. They're not the typical Southwest designs. Actually, they're very sleek, very contemporary, and they're kind of, I don't know, they struck me as being more Scandinavian, but beautiful. And she is in New Mexico, and so her pieces were, in this particular store, were 50% off the price. And, of course, I bought I bought more jewelry. it's a kind of a, maybe an inch long piece of silver, and it's maybe, I don't know, a half an inch wide. And it's highly polished and plain piece of silver, and there are two uncut garnets. One is on the edge, and one kind of hangs off.
Wow.
And it comes on a on a freshwater pearl chain, and it was just beautiful. And so I bought that in.
It's too bad we're not on TV here. You could model some of this stuff for us, Neela.
Actually, you can see some of the pictures on my website, on the article on my
website.
I saw
some of them, yeah.
The photos.
What sort of a price for that piece that you bought? That was, because that's a pretty outstanding sort of piece of jewelry by the sound of it.
The Lily Barak silver?
Yeah.
The pendant and the chain, I call it a chain, but the freshwater pearls was about $100.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. That really is fantastic. And so how long were you there for?
I guess probably about 4 or 5 days altogether.
And you just shopped for 4 or 5 days?
You know, in retrospect, yes, although at the time I didn't think so.
Well, she called it a cultural experience.
When the credit card came back, it was a cultural shock.
Well, I hit all the cultural highlights. I just happened to buy jewelry there.
Right, right.
In fact, I hit the Indian Pueblo Cultural Center, and I bought a money clip for my son there. That's an interesting place to visit, and they have a gift shop there, but they also have booths outside where people can sell their products, you know, their jewelry, their crafts, their whatever. And so I went shopping there, too.
The thing that always gets me when, the same in Mexico, funny enough, I bought a silver money clip when I was at Mexico City airport one day, and it's hard to determine, if you're there for 3-4 days, what is a fair price. And I don't know. What did you use as a guideline?
Well, I guess I probably used New York prices as a guideline, which
right.
almost anything looks cheap in New York.
And a gut feeling, I guess.
And a gut feeling, yeah. And also kind of more... Did I want to spend that? Did I like it enough to spend that kind of money on
it? And what does it matter? Yeah.
And some of it, frankly, was so inexpensive that I was delighted. Like, you know, my beaded earrings for like $5 or whatever they were.
Good heavens. Fantastic.
A very good deal. Other things, you know, like the Lily Barak. I love that piece.
Yeah.
And so I probably would have spent more money on it, but not a heck of a lot more because... I don't have a heck of a lot more to spend.
And you earn even less when you go back.
Yes.
Sounds to me like you did very well, Neela. We've got to go, and it's time for us to go to break. We want to thank you again for joining us today, and we look forward to your next piece.
Oh, thank you very much. I had a wonderful time talking with you guys, and look forward to talking to you next time about New York City in the spring.
Oh, that sounds great. Like fun.
Yeah, that's my old hometown. Look forward to it. Thanks, Neela.
Okay, thanks, Neela.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye now. All right, that was fun. She's interesting, and you know, who would have thought that shopping would be an interesting topic for Talk and Travel? But
I always think shopping for silver and that stuff is fun.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, we're going to be joined by Lucy Powell, who's the communication manager for the Americas of Air New Zealand.
I hope she can understand her accent.
She has the most beautiful accent. You'll love talking to Lucy. She's just a sweetheart. Stay tuned. We'll be back momentarily.